Welcome, friends, to Inspirational Truths, a time for exploring truths from God's timeless book. My name is Todd Price. I believe that song and the message for today will be a blessing to each of you. So with that in mind, it is my privilege to introduce to you the founder of Inspirational Truths, my father, Tom Price.
Well, greetings, friends. My name is Tom Price, and I'm always happy to say it's Inspirational Truth time once again, and I greet you as always in the blessed name of Christ, my Savior. And oh, I want Him to be yours. He can be yours. In fact, the Word of God tells us He came to be yours, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost, according to the book of Luke, chapter 19 and verse 10. And if you started this day lost, by the grace of God, friend, you can end it saved and on your way to heaven. And by the way, that's what Debbie is going to sing about today in this song. She's going to sing Saved by Grace. And I want to tell you something. That's the only way we can be saved. When she gets done, I'll meet you in the book of Hebrews, right after the book of Philemon, right before the book of James. The book of Hebrews, chapter 7, I'll begin reading about verse 23 and complete the chapter, be focusing on what verse 25 says. I hope it's a blessing. Thanks for joining us.
I was standing alone in the darkness. Jesus said, step in the light. He said that I could be justified if by faith I believed. My heart was so heavy, then the burden was lifted. Now free from guilt and shame. That's when I found mercy and grace. I found it in Jesus' name. Grace, grace, that's what I was after. I found grace when I met the Master. He took me in, gave me peace within. Now I'm saved by grace. No longer do I stand in the darkness. No longer a sinner am I. Freely He gave so I could be saved. Peace and joy now abide. For all have sinned and come short of His glory. By His blood we're redeemed. I realize I've been set free by faith through His grace. Grace, grace, that's what I was after. I found grace when I met the Master. He took me in, gave me peace with Him. Come short of His glory, by His blood we're redeemed. I realize I've been set free by faith through His grace. I have been saved by faith. I am saved. I'm saved by His grace. Saved by His grace.
I'll tell you what, every time I hear it, I just rejoice. I just sing away most of the time in the background, and I love that. I love the woman that wrote it. I love the way that she sings it, and I love the message that is in it. Hey, friend, I got news for you. You can be saved. It's by the grace of God. In fact, that's the only way you can be saved. In fact, that's the only way anybody could ever be saved from the time that Adam and Eve sinned and disobeyed God Almighty Himself in the garden to the last person on planet Earth will be saved. It'll be by the grace of God, by the grace of God. And Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 tells us that without doubt or equivocation. But I'm looking to the book of Hebrews, chapter 7. What a great book the book of Hebrews is. Don't you just love that book of Hebrews? I remember when I was just no big old boy. I mean, just a big old teenager. I was living with my grandparents, mother and dad. They were having some problems in their life, loved their heart. They got back together and squared it away and lived the last years of the life together, enjoying each other's company. But it was a difficult time. And I don't know, when I would come home after I'd gone on a date or be with my boyfriends out just running around, hanging out, I'd come and get in Papa and Mama's little rocking chair in that trailer we used to live in there at Bob White. And I'd open the Bible and turn that floor lamp on, and I was just consumed by the book of Hebrews. Didn't know much about it. Didn't know what an oracle was. Didn't know anything about a priesthood. Didn't know much about Jesus Christ. But I was drawn to this book. Now, I'll be honest, I don't know much more about it today, it seems like, than I did then. But I'm going to do my best to share with you what God has laid on my heart. And I trust, sir, ma'am, that it'll be a blessing to somebody. Now listen, please don't change. Don't turn the radio off when I give you my text. I just want you to listen to what the Word of God says. I'm not going to give you opinion. I'm going to give you what thus saith the Lord. I know what it's like to be on both sides of the fence of this idea. But you want to know what I learned one time? I learned to just let the Word of God speak. I learned to stop trying to make it say something that I thought it should say. And I just began to let the Word of God speak. And you know what I've done? I've entered into the rest of God. I've entered into that rest, bless God. I mean, I've ceased from my labors, and I've entered into the labors that Jesus did. I've found myself a permanent, continual Sabbath in Christ Jesus. Some of you will get that, and others maybe will have to dig, but you can get it if you want. In chapter 7 of the book of Hebrews, listen to what Paul, and I believe Paul was the author of this great book. He was writing the Hebrews. In many ways, this is a dispensational book. I believe it'll mean more to some people in the time of the tribulation than it does now. But all Scripture, everybody heard me say all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Say amen, listen, friend, and is profitable, and it is. What a mighty book this book of Hebrews is. You know what the theme of it is? When you thrash it all out, it's about Jesus and how much better He was than the angels, how much better than He was than Aaron and the priesthood that He had, how much better the covenant that He brought, that He purchased with His blood through His life, death, burial, and resurrection, how much better the blood that He shed was than that which Abel shed when Cain slew him. How much better, friend, the country that He's gone to prepare us is. Oh, look, it's about better. And there are other things. In fact, one of the key words is better. I believe it's mentioned at least 13 times, if I'm remembering correctly. But listen now, listen. It's a grand book. It's a great book. And it focuses on Jesus Christ, the Almighty, Eternal, Everlasting Son of Almighty God. And the Word of God says this, beginning in verse 23 of chapter 7. And they truly were many priests, talking about those of the family of Aaron and of the tribe of Levi. It was a priesthood that he entered into by divine fiat, by the command and oracles of Almighty God. When the children of Israel came out of Egypt, when they went to the foot of Mount Sinai, and when God gave to Abraham and hence the children of Israel the law, the Ten Commandments, the civil law, and the ceremonial law, somebody needed to administer in them. And God's intention was to have the whole nation to be a nation of priests. But because they rebelled, God chose the Levites to replace them. That's another message altogether. Listen, truly, there were many priests, because, now here's why, they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But oh, look at the change. But this man he's talking about is Jesus Christ. He's talking about the Son of God, who is better than the angels. And I'm preaching to some degree my first point here when I'm talking about His person, about the person of Jesus Christ, who He was, where He came from, what He came to do. And the writer said, but this man whom he had been referring to in the passage of Scripture before us, considering what God did to call him into the ministry. You see, Paul has been talking about the office of the great high priest. He even told us back in chapter 6, or he will tell us in a chapter ahead, I believe, to consider the apostle and high priest of our faith. Oh, but listen, that's another message for another time. But he's talking about Jesus. He's talking about this man Jesus. He's talking about Jesus Christ. He's talking about the God-man. He's talking talking about the incarnate Son of God. He's talking about that one that was born through the Virgin Mary. That one, bless God, that brought God into the light, that manifests God, that in Him dwelt the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. You see, the priesthood of Aaron changed to some degree every time that a high priest died. Now, not the law, not the ceremonial law, not the moral law, not the civil law. That's not what I'm saying. But the person who administered it changed. And maybe a little bit of how he did it, just the mannerisms that he had. Can I tell you something? I believe the death of Aaron was more difficult on the children of Israel than the death of Moses. And I'm not belittling that. What a great man Moses was. But listen to my line of thinking, and I've got to move on. There's so much to say in such a little time. Listen, Aaron was their high priest. He was the one that represented the children of God before God. That's what a priest did. A prophet represented God before the people. The priests represented the people before God, and I believe they understood. Aaron understood them. He was down in the slime pits with them. He was down making brick. He was down in the suffering of Egypt. He knew what it was to be under the lash of the taskmaster. He knew what it was to be out in the wilderness. He understood those people, and when he died, I imagine they wondered if his son Eliphaz, is that his name? I'm not looking at I'm just trying to go by memory. They wondered, will he understand us? Will he understand us? Well, listen, friend, I'm telling you, in this person Jesus, in this man Jesus Christ, in this God who became a man while he remained to be God, he understands. He was tested and tempted in all points, like as we are, and yet he was without sin. Listen to what he says. He's got an unchangeable priesthood. Jesus the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews 13 and 5 says, oh, listen, what he was, he is. What he was and is, he always shall be. And look at what he says in verse 25. Wherefore, because of that, back up and read what precedes this and see what this is. Therefore, he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. I may read on some more, get the last three verses of this chapter, I've got to stop right there. Let me get verse 26. For such an high priest became us who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. I'm about to shout right now, aren't you? Hey, friend, I want to talk to you about that phrase we find in verse 25. Wherefore he is able to, watch this, save them to the uttermost. I don't know about you, but I'm glad to know today how that I'm saved to the uttermost. Now, most people like to quote that. Most people like to say, well, he'll save from the guttermost to the uttermost. And they have no idea what they're talking about. They have no idea what the word uttermost means. But I like this song that says, I'm saved to the uttermost. I know that I am washed in the blood of the great of the precious Lamb. Through the Father, through the Son, through the Holy Ghost, I'm saved to the uttermost. And you know what I'll say to that? I'll say, glory, hallelujah, I thank God I am. I'm saved because of God the Father, because of God the Son, because the Holy Spirit. They all three had a work and a hand in my salvation, in my redemption. And listen, friend, I'm saved forever. Hallelujah. Now, let me tell you something right now. Don't turn away. You listen to this old country preacher. I told you I've been on both sides of the fence to this. I wasn't raised to understand what the Word of God spoke about when he talked in John 3:16 about everlasting life. I believe that you could be saved one day and then lost another. But when I became a student of the Word of God, I came to understand understand that Jesus Christ came to give me eternal life, came to give me abundant life. And when I've got Jesus, hallelujah, I've got eternal life because that's who and what He is. Let me tell you what the Word of God tells us. The Word of God tells us 26 times about eternal life. It tells us 10 times about everlasting life. It tells us about life everlasting 4 times. And can I tell you what I believe? I believe like J. Vernon McGee. He said, I believe in the security of the believer and the insecurity of the make-believer. Now, I'll never preach what they refer to as once in grace, always in grace. Listen, I don't have time to explain that, but that's not even biblical. But bless God, eternal life is, everlasting life is, everlasting salvation is, according to Hebrew 9, everlasting redemption is, or eternal redemption is, in Hebrews 9:12, eternal inheritance is, in 9:15. And by the way, Paul told Titus to tell us and those at Crete, because God cannot lie, He promised to give us eternal life. Now you figure it out yourself. Listen, I told you I'm just going to let the Word of God speak. That's all I'm going to do. And I'm telling you, friend, I'm trusting in what Christ did. I'm trusting in His person. I'm trusting in the life in the birth that He had, the life that He lived, the death that He died, and the life that He now lives. You say, what do you mean, preacher? Well, listen to this. Oh, wish I had more time. Wish I had more time. Time's running by so quick. But in the book of Romans, chapter 5, I believe it is, listen unto what the Word of God says. It says this in verse 10. He said, For in light of the fact, when we were sinners, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. Now watch this. Much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. Now listen to this. Listen to this. Jesus died for our sins. He died to save us. But listen, everybody listen and say amen. He lives to keep us. Do you know what Peter tells us? Peter tells us without a shadow of a doubt. He tells us boldly. He tells us clearly in verse 5 of chapter 1 of his first epistle that we are kept by the power of God. So look, friend, look. We're saved to the uttermost. We're saved all the way through. We're saved to the point where salvation that was worked in us at the beginning when we bowed before Christ, repented of our sin, received Him as our Savior, when He worked that in us, bless God, He's going to work it out all the way to the end. The Bible said in Philippians 1:6, He that hath begun a good work in you shall perform it until the day of Christ. Hey, He's going to complete this. He's going to carry it all the way. And I want you to know when the shepherd, the chief shepherd, the good shepherd, the great shepherd starts out with 100 sheep, could you just guess how many He's going to end up? So look, we've got the person in this. We've got the only begotten Son of God who lived sinless among us, died substitutionally for us, was raised out from among the dead, ascended to the right hand of the Father 40 days later. Oh, listen, friend, He who is, was, and always shall be. The purpose that He came for was to seek and to save that which is lost. He came to redeem. He came to rescue. He came, listen, friend, to create new creatures in Christ Jesus. What a great purpose that it was. And according to Ephesians, I believe it is 3:11. I'm not looking. It is an eternal purpose. Isn't that amazing? Or you say, how did He do it, preacher? Well, He tells us in verse, where is it at? Verse 16 of chapter 7. He does it by the power of an endless life. Now listen to my logic. You listen to the logic of this old country preacher. There's none of us, and let me say this again, none of us that are able to save ourselves. If you agree with that statement, say amen. And I believe everybody listening said amen. Can I tell you something? Can I ask you a question? If we're not able to save ourselves, how in the name of God do we think we can keep ourselves? How many in the Word of God? I've already told you this. 1 Peter 1:5 says that we are kept not because of Tom Price being obedient to Jesus Christ. God knew I'd sin. God knew you would sin after we became Christians. Now listen, friend, we ought to sin less tomorrow than we did today. No Christian can sin successfully. I believe Charles Spurgeon said, but look, Jesus, He became our great high priest so that He can make intercession for me and you. Do you know why He's making intercession for us continually? This verse says He's doing it continually. In chapter 9, verse 24, He tells us the same. In Romans 8:24, that great chapter of no condemnation and no separation. He's a mediator between men and God, or between God and men, the man Jesus Christ. 1 Timothy 2:5, He's a mediator. He brings us together with God the Father because we would fail, because we'd need somebody there continually interceding on our behalf. You see, we have, listen what John said. He said, these things that I've written that ye sin not, but if, or in light of the fact that any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous, who is the propitiation for our sins. Believers, those little children of the family of God, according to 1 John. Bless God, He is the propitiation for our sins and not ours only, but for the sins of all the world. I'm here to tell you, friend, listen, He's able to save us and keep us and take us all the way through. Let me say it again. I'm like J. Vernon McGee. I believe in the security of the believer, but the insecurity of the make-believer. Look, God knows who is and who isn't. I'm not supposed to judge people. I am to watch their fruit bearing. I am to be discerning and all those things. But John said, listen, if they had been of us, they would have no doubt continued with us, but they went out from us to show that they were not of us. In that great reckoning day, in that great day where we'll all give an account of ourselves before our Creator and could be Savior, and for us who are saved, our Redeemer, He'll know, we'll know. I believe we know today. But it's because, look at verse 16, it's because of His power. He said, who is made not after the law of cardinal ordinances or commandments, but after the power of an endless life. Here's why I know that I've got eternal life, everlasting life, life everlasting or life eternal. Because I've got Jesus, and here it is. Friend, I'm going to live as long as He lives, and He's eternal. From everlasting to everlasting, Thou art God. Oh, listen, friend, today. I let the Word of God speak. You know what having the assurance of a believer gives you? It gives you assurance. It gives you liberty to serve, not to sin. Hey, if people understand the doctrine of the grace of God, like the Word of God teaches it. If you understand the Word of God rightly divided, can I tell you, sir, ma'am, you'll want to serve God like crazy. I mean to tell you, you'll be like Paul, 2 Corinthians 5:12 or 14, where he said, the love of Christ constraineth or motivateth me. So look, we've got the person of Christ. We've got the only begotten Son of God who laid down His life for me and you, ascended back to the Father, took up His position as our great high priest representing us before God at the throne, not made with hands. Listen, His purpose was to seek to save that which is lost and to keep those who were saved by His grace, and He's got power. Thank God He's got power to do it. He's got power that we don't have. He's got ability that none of us have because He's got the power. Get this. I can't fathom this. I can proclaim it. I can rejoice in it, but I cannot explain it. He's got the power of an endless life. And here's the deal. Because He lives, I shall live also. And look at His position. Look at His position. He's that great high priest. He ever lives to make intercession for me and you. He is that mediator. He is that adagesman that Job cried out for and said, oh, if only had somebody that would come between me and God. Hey, we've got Him in Jesus Christ. Listen, sir. Listen, ma'am. I'm here to tell you. The devil's saying, now look, you can't get saved because you can't live it. Can I tell you? I'll say amen to that. The devil's not lying to you there. But here's what happens. When you get saved, Jesus, glory, hallelujah, moves on the inside. He becomes your liver. And as long as you do what Paul teaches in Romans 6, that's just yield to the internal residence of the Holy Spirit of God. You just yield your life to Jesus. You just allow Him to live what He puts in you out. Then you can do it. You can do it like anybody else. Hey, listen. If you're lost, run to Jesus. He already knows it. You admit it. Tell it to Him. Say, God, I'm trusting in the work that Christ did for me at Calvary. If you live in constant fear, go to God and say, God, I want to have that. I want to have that rest that comes with trusting in the work that Christ did. Hey, today, friend, He's not only able to save, but He's able to save all the way to the end. And I pray that you'll come to understand that. Until the next time.
You are my Savior.
Thank you, friend, for listening to Inspirational Truths today. It is our prayer that the message and the song has been a blessing to your soul and has in some way ministered to your heart. We hope that you will make plans to join us every week at the same time. If you have a special request that you would like us to know about, please feel free to write us and we will be sure to pray about your request, whatever it is. If you'd like to contact us, our address is Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. That's Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. Or on the web at TOMANDDEBBIE at inspirationaltruths.com. That's Tom and Debbie at inspirationaltruths.com. Remember, friend, this is a work of faith. We need both your prayers and your listening ear. Now, until the next time, it is our prayer that God will richly bless both you and yours.